Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we do bless your name. We are so grateful that you hear us and that we have the privilege of talking to you. Lord, we thank you for another day that you've allowed us to see how blessed we are to have soundness of mind to worship you, to once again gather together to lift your name. For the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Lord, I pray that you would cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness. We confess we have stepped outside of your will. We have done that which is not pleasing in your sight. But you made us a promise that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us. So we're grateful that we can plead the blood of Jesus Christ that is sufficient to cover all of our sins. Lord, we pray now that as your word goes forth, that it will fall on fertile soil, that someone who does not know you and a free pardon of their sin might be saved. Lord, we pray that this might be the day of decision for them. We ask all of this now in the matchless name of Jesus Christ and our soon to come reigning King, we pray. Amen. Good morning, everyone. What a joy it is to be alive and once again in the Lord's house. Amen. I want to invite your attention to James chapter 3. And I'd like to begin reading in your hearing verse 3 in James epistle. James chapter 3, beginning at verse 3. When you found it, say amen. Well, I guess we all found it, didn't we? Okay. Amen. Amen. This is what it says. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird or reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no one can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in this similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not be so. So ends the reading of God's word. I want to preach about pathways to a transformed tongue. Lord, help me. Pathway to a transformed tongue. Don't fool me now, but is anyone in a predicament right now because of your tongue? See, I knew that was that's not a trick question. I know. If we are honest, we would have to admit that from time to time, the smallest member in our mouths has a way of getting us in a world of trouble. Can we all agree on that? The best of us have at one time or another said some things that we wish we could somehow grab and bring back. But like you and I know, once it's out there, it's out there, and there's very little you and I can do to bring it back. This tongue can be an instrument of praise, as indicated in the scripture, can do great things, but at the same time, it has the proclivity, because of that sin nature, to go way away from God and his plan and his desires for us. This tongue can be amazing. It can be a lying tongue. It can be a belittling tongue, a rude tongue, a discouraging tongue, a manipulating, flattering, bragging tongue. It can be all of that stuff in one mouth. Amazing. And our adversary, the devil, has tricked us into believing that it really doesn't matter what you say out of your mouth. We live in a time now where folks have no filter, and they're liable to say just about anything under the guise of, that's just how I am. I call it straight. I'm a straight shooter. That's my nature. That's how I'm made. That is a lie straight from the pit of hell. And if you ever buy into that philosophy that it's okay for you to say whatever you want to say, however you want to say it, you are in complete opposition to what the Word of God says. And we want to live our lives based upon, predicated upon Scripture and what the Lord says. So we need to understand that He is very much concerned about what we say out of our mouths. We can lift up. We can encourage. But we can also tear down. Here's the thing. The choice is yours. Every day, you and I get to decide just how we're going to maneuver this thing called the tongue. And let me say this. The idea of taming the tongue really doesn't exist. I mean, it sounds good. I'm going to tame my tongue. Scripture says no man can tame the tongue. There's only one who can tame our tongue. As a matter of fact, it's not even about taming. It's about transforming my tongue. That's what I want. I want a tongue that is transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. You, beloved, cannot do this under our own strength or steam. We simply lack the wherewithal to do it. But I must make a conscious decision that I cannot tame my tongue, but I indeed want my tongue to be transformed into an instrument that God can use for His glory. James is talking about these folks. He's letting them know early in this third chapter. He says, listen, be careful. Be careful if you desire to be a teacher or a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, because you, beloved, are going to be held at a slightly different standard because you are serving as my mouthpiece. And what comes with that is a stricter judgment because you have a way of influencing what people think, do, or behave based upon your words and what you say. So let me say this. I pray that you would pray for preachers and teachers and elders of this church who have to stand before people and open the Word of God, that what they are saying is in keeping and in line with what the Word of God says. And if it's not in those 66 books, beloved, spit out the bones and hold on to the meat. Pray for them, because the enemy does not want them to be successful at what they do. He does not want us to rightly divide the Word of God. Pray that they guard their study time. Pray that their sin life is short, or at least sin list is short. Pray that they have time to meditate upon God's Word. Pray that God would anoint him by way of the Holy Spirit when they stand up before you to teach and to preach. Beloved, we need your prayers. Because somebody's life hangs in the balance based upon what they may overhear today. So pray for them. We need it. I'm not ashamed to beg. We need it. So many distractions, so many things that can get between us and the Word of God. So as he's letting them know, he said, "Beloved, be careful if you want to be one that stands up, understand what you're getting into and what is required of you when you stand. I'm going to be watching. I'm leaning in, listening to what you have to say." So James goes on and he says some things. You know what? And let me tell you this. When he begins to talk about the tongue, what you'll learn, as I learned, that he's really not saying anything new about the tongue. He begins to talk about some things that most of us already know about the tongue. All right, you're looking at me like you don't believe me, okay? First of all, we see that the tongue is powerful. Look at what he says. He talks about putting a small bit in a horse's mouth. And when you put that small bit in the horse's mouth, you get to determine the direction in which the horse will go. Now, horses, last I checked, are way bigger than we are, but yet, if you're riding one, you can control its direction simply because of a bit in its mouth. Then he talks about a large ship and how a small rudder can change the course and direction of a large ship. He's telling us in a like fashion that the tongue is a small member, powerful, and it can control or determine your direction. It has that kind of power. And oftentimes, we miss it. We fail to realize what we have in our mouth, behind our teeth. We just get used to it being there. And we kind of take it for granted. But if you ever begin to hone in on what you have behind your teeth by way of your tongue, you can begin to speak life into situations and not death. And I'm going to talk about that a little later. It's all about my mouth. We were singing praises unto God with our mouths. Of all of the things that could happen, I pray that I always have the ability to communicate because I want to be, words are connectors. I want to be able to connect with him, with one another, and with God by way of words. We sing praises unto him. And when we sing praises unto him, he's leaning in again because he is the object of our affection, Jesus and him alone. So if you have a tongue, we have no reason not to use it to glorify, to magnify, and to praise God. Scripture says, and I can't remember right offhand, if you keep silent, the very rocks will cry out. I don't need any rocks crying out for me. The Lord has done so much, been so good for too long, that he's got a hallelujah from me if he wakes me at 2 a.m. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm glad to be here. But not only is it powerful, he says it's destructive. It's powerful and it is destructive. He says a small spark can destroy a whole forest. It only takes one match. Don't need 10, 12, but one. It's destructive. And we know that because we've said some pretty destructive things to people. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have left some carnage with our mouths. And listen, some of us are real quick-witted. We just made that way. We wired that way. We got some comeback that we're like, Lord, what? My goodness, I just said. We got some sarcasm. All right, y'all looking like I'm the only one. Okay. We got some nasty mouth in us. And I tell you, man, some of us quick, we can get that thing out and it's like, ooh, it stings. It hurts. Our mouths can be destructive. And we kind of, think it's, we're like a verbal assassins. You know, we just like let people have it because we just quick-witted like that. You know, and we think it's okay, it's cute, it's harmless. I ain't mean no, no, no. You said it. You kind of, there's something behind that. You just say it. You meant that thing. And I felt that thing when you said it. We got to be careful with this tongue. It's destructive. And then, verse 7 through 9, he tells us it's uncontrollable. Oh, man. It's going to get better, y'all. Hang with me, because, but I'm just saying, I'm just a herald. I'm just reporting what's in the book. Sets on fire. So we can tame just about everything, all the beast, the bird, the reptile, the creature, but no one can tame the tongue. Isn't that something? You got all that in your mouth. Powerful, destructive, uncontrollable. Then he says, like, it's set on fire by hell. I mean, it's just no good up in here. So my question is, what do we do? How do we manage to live a life that's pleasing to God and at the same time allow him to transform our tongue? Robert Morris out of Texas wrote a book years ago, but I remember these points. They stick with me today, and I'm going to share them with you because I'm trying to practice them, but nonetheless, you may find it helpful along your journey as you aim at dealing with this, controlling this, transforming this tongue. First thing Morris says, he says, you know, learn to, number one, pause before you say something. Now, you know, that's not always easy because sometimes we're ready to start right after the person finishes the last word. He's saying, if you're going to bring your tongue under submission, if you're going to if we're going to transform our tongues, it begins with you and I being able to pause. I know that runs counter to culture, that we like you quick-witted. Boy, they pretty sharp. As soon as you say something, they on it. No, 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 no. Sometimes that gets you in a world of trouble. Sometimes I need to step back. Even scripture says, be slow, quick to hear, and slow to speak. Slow down. Everything does not require an immediate response. And sometimes we let folk pressure us into making choices and decisions because they want a response yesterday. You know what? I hear what you're saying, but I need to get back with you on that. And if you see where the conversation is really going south, back, fast, then maybe, you know, I'll talk to you tomorrow because this is not good. Sometimes we have to exercise discernment when it comes to whether or not I need to respond to something right away. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir, and y'all know that, but I'm just saying, sometimes I struggle with the pause because I got to get it off of me. You know, if you love words and love how I got to say something. You cannot get away with that one. No, sir. I've been waiting for you to step away because my failure to pause generally gets me into trouble. Yeah. And it's just not me. Scripture says in Proverbs 18:13, he who answers a matter before he hears it is folly and shame to him. Proverbs 21:23, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble. Isn't that something? We can keep ourselves from getting into some trouble simply because we learn how to pause before I say something. 1 Corinthians 13:4 reminds us that love is patient. God is telling us that to love others by exercising patience when it comes to our mouth. Just learn to slow down. Even Job 44 says, I will put my hand over my mouth in silence. I have nothing more to say. Isn't that something? And when you feel a certain topics, people used to say, you shouldn't talk about sex, politics, money. Maybe it wasn't those three, but those are three that can be hot buttons for me. So maybe those are conversations you maybe need to steer away from. Because you know your nature. You know how you're pretty passionate about this thing. And once you get started, you're liable to say it. So maybe, because I'm not that transformed with my mouth yet in that area, maybe I would do well not to even engage in certain conversations with folk. Because I have a proclivity to just go off, fly off the handle, if you don't agree with me. Now, if you agree with me, right, we're okay. But the moment you don't agree with me, you get to see my passion well up. So maybe conversations and certain topics, maybe I just need to step away from. Because I don't do pause well. I get myself, as scripture says, in trouble. Let me move. So pause. If we want a transformed mouth, practice pausing before I respond. Then he says, ponder. Not enough to pause. It's a good start. But think carefully about what I'm going to say. You know what I've discovered, like you, is the moment it comes out, I know it didn't come out right. Nobody has to tell me, right? You'd be like, oh Lord, I gotta do some damage control because this thing is out here now. And our spouses are good at reminding us when we go over the line. Because in some places, there's a silent treatment when you don't know how to ponder your words first. And you, well, does that? Ponder your words. Think carefully about what we're going to say before we say it and how the other person may receive what it is we have. Pondering will keep us from some mouth mess-ups. Also, ponder when it comes to before you hit send. See, we now got this thing called technology. You know that thing, that computer and tablet and all these other gadgets that we have that we can now respond to instantaneously the moment someone sends us something. And now, you know... You got to really make sure that the tone and the flow of what you're saying is really right and appropriate, because once you hit send, it's gone. And that's nothing more than an extension of your mouth. That's your word speaking for you. So all of this stuff now, beloved, means we have to be careful when we begin to even respond to stuff. Because that is us, basically, that's representing your thoughts. Those are your words. And we have to be careful before we start hitting send. Because sometimes we can get ourselves in a mess. Proverbs 12:18, there is one who speaks rashly, like a piercing sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Proverbs 6:2, you have been trapped by the words of your lips, ensnared by the words of your mouth. Proverbs 13:3, the one who guards his mouth protects his life, and the one who opens his lips invites his own ruin. My goodness, all that comes as a result of not knowing how to ponder what I'm about to say. Consider think, T-H-I-N-K. Use this as a grid. Number one, is it true? Is it true? Is what I'm about to say accurate? Or is there a hint of exaggeration? Is it true? T. H. Is it helpful? If it's going to wound, if it's going to hurt, if it's going to sting, maybe I want to hold off of it. And I'd be helpful right now. I. Is it inspiring? Is someone about to be inspired by what I'm about to say? Does it inspire anyone? Is it going to make someone's life and journey a little better because I've shared this with them? Is it going to help lift them and build them up? N. Is it necessary? Some of the stuff we respond to, some of the stuff we say, you know what? We really did not have to say it. Wasn't helpful, wasn't thoughtful, wasn't inspiring. Then maybe it's not necessary. K, is it kind? Is it kind? I guarantee you, if we begin to use that as a filter, as we communicate with folk, we would save ourselves a whole lot of pain, distress, folks still mad with you from 5 years and you don't know why, and you thought it was over and it's not. I mean, so maybe if I just use that as a grid, pause and ponder. And then the last one is pray. Pause, ponder, and pray. Lord, like you brush your teeth every morning and wash your body and put deodorant on and all that, then maybe I should also, after I finish all that, saying, Lord, you know, this is the day that you have made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. But Lord, I need you to take care of this mouth today. Like Moses, I need you to put words in my mouth because I know in me dwelleth no good thing. And I need you to take this mouth of mine and begin to transform it. Because, Lord, I confess, under my own steam, I cannot do it. But I know your word reminds me that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So I come standing on the promises of Christ my King. I'm hoping that you can do, in fact, I'm relying on you to do what I know I cannot do. I've got to begin to pray my way through a transformed mouth. Daily, and that's the challenge of the Christian faith. The Christian walk is because it is so daily. It would be one thing if we could put it down and then pick it up later, but no, it doesn't work that way. When we sign up to follow him, he's looking for a total commitment. I'm looking for perfection. Everybody know you're not perfect, but he wants me to be consistent in my walk. He wants my conversation to be more consistent. As I pause, ponder, and pray. In Isaiah chapter 4, he talks about when the Lord had taken him to the throne room of heaven and he had seen nothing. He'd never seen anything like it before. And then he comes back and he says, my lips are unclean. He says, oh, my gosh. He says, woe is me, for I'm undone because I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with his tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. What I'm saying is this. Every morning we wake up, we need to start with, Lord, I need you to get one of those coals and lay it on my mouth so that my iniquity, so that my conversation, so that my words will be words that are helpful and wholesome to you. Because, Lord, I cannot, and I'm relying upon you. I'm making myself available for you to do what I can't do. Got to pray through it. So what are the other steps that I need to consider? Because I want this to be something that you can maybe listen to from time to time and say, whoops, I'm slipping. Let me go back and see where he said I need to go and do that, because it seemed to make sense. It seemed to be something I can do. Do this also daily. Surrender my heart to God daily. Relinquish, give control to my heart. When the Word of God talks about heart, it's not talking about that physical muscle as much as it's talking about the will, the emotions, the affections. That's what the heart is. And the Word makes it clear that what comes out of our mouth is a byproduct of what's in our heart. See, it's really a heart issue. When you don't want to praise and worship God, it's a heart issue. When you don't want to give unto the Lord that which he has given unto you, it is a heart issue. When you practice sarcasm and being smart with people and condescending and patronizing, it is a heart issue. Not your mouth issue, but your heart issue. Because it's in the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. So whatever's in heart is going to come out of those lips. So the issue then becomes, Lord, create within me a clean heart and renew a right spirit unto me. It's the heart. So if you ever get your heart right, and when we get our heart right, guess what? Our conversation, our words change because our heart has changed. So as long as your jacked up, funky heart stinks, guess what's coming out your messed up, stinky mouth? Yeah, your junk that nobody wants to be around because it stinks. Get my heart right, and I can use this thing to glorify and magnify him. If you're trying to transform your mouth also, invite someone to serve as a, I don't want to say mentor, but accountability. Somebody who ain't impressed with you. They don't think you all of that, for real. They know you. They ain't that impressed. Everybody needs somebody in your life who ain't that impressed by you. Your stuff still stink. And they say, yeah, it do stink. They're not impressed, so they don't have no problem holding you accountable to what you say. That's the problem with some of us. We ain't got nobody tell us we jacked up lately. We think we all of that. We think we really got it going on. No, baby, you ain't that good on your best day. None of us are. All of us need someone who can hold us accountable when it comes to our mouth. You know what you said? That wasn't right. All right, I'm just saying. Now, you know, what you do with it is on you. But every now and then, we need to be confronted by what we say out of our mouths, and we need somebody who can hold us accountable to what we say. Practice speaking life daily. Proverbs says in 18:21, life and death is in the power of the tongue. Are you going to be the one that speaks life into situations and predicaments? Or are you going to be the one who speaks death? The choice is yours. Now, this is how death sound. Oh, man, we ain't never going to get through this. He ain't never going to change. You know, he's been like that, that's death. Life says, you know what? It's been tough for him. And I know that. And what I'm going to do is pray by way of the Holy Spirit that the Lord touches his heart or encourages him to be the man I know he can be. that they can be the child I know they can be, that this can be the son or daughter that I know they can be. I want to be one who practices speaking life. So that when people see you coming, they see life coming. Listen, we got enough bad news. But I want to be the one to say, where Nick's at? Where Jim at? Where Seth at? Where they at? Because I know that when they show up, we are going to hear from heaven and we're going to get an idea what hope looks like. Simply, are you that kind of believer? So that when they see you coming, they know life is coming because you speak life. Tell death he's not welcome here. You got to go somewhere, get to stepping. I'm a prisoner of hope. And I'm going to show it wherever I go, whether you like it or not. Practice speaking life. That's what Barnabas did. I love Barnabas. Oh, my goodness. What a study on Barnabas. When Saul was killing folk and murdering Christians and acting crazy, he had a conversion. He became a believer, started preaching in Damascus. The folks saw him coming and said, whoa, not him. We know who he is. Barnabas said, wait a minute. Barnabas took him around and introduced him to the other. And he said, listen, he's been preaching. So say what? Yes. I mean, so, in other words, he started speaking life over him. In spite of his jacked up, wicked past, he could have said, yeah, that's him. You know how many folks he didn't go there. He started to speak life and not death. And let me ask you, what are you speaking? Are you speaking life or are you speaking death? Isaiah 54 says, the Lord God have given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. And you and I every day come in contact with folks who are weary. They are tired. They are looking at what's going on around them and saying that there is no hope. But you are saying, wait a minute, there is hope. There's a man named Jesus. He is the light of the world. And he's still around. Practice speaking hope over your children. Speak hope. Speak life over your spouse, over your grandparents, over your neighbors, over some of them coworkers. I got it out. But they need to have some life spoken over them. And beloved, you and I have what they need by way of our mouth. A transformed tongue also praises God. You hear what I said? A transformed tongue knows the value of praising God. You don't have to remind a transformed tongue that it's time to worship and praise God. They come ready. They rapture ready anyway. So they really come. They come with praise on their lips because they know that if it had not been for the Lord on their side, they would not have made it anywhere. You see, when your mouth is really transformed, it changes your behavior. A transformed mouth will rearrange things. In other words, what now becomes important is how can I please him? And if that means I have to wave my hand, if it means I have to lift my voice and praises unto him, that's what I'm prepared to do because a transformed tongue praises God. I don't care where you at, who you with. You can't help it. You got a case of the can't help it. It's all on me. He's been too good. I can't help but praising him. He's kept me. He's provided for me. My family circle hasn't been broken. I'm still clothed in my right mind. My babies, my children are okay. A transformed tongue is always in a posture of praise because they realize that is nobody but Jesus. And they have no problem living that out and letting others see their light in them. Enter into his courts with thanksgiving. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting. My lips shall utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. So slow down. Look at what God is doing in and through you, how good he has been and is, what he has yet to give you that is stored up. Be one who has a transformed tongue, one that's always quick and ready to worship him and to praise him, to offer unto him thanksgiving of praise. We have mouths to sing, to exalt our Lord. And what a shame it is for us to act like we're mute, no ability to talk or say anything. But we have a tongue. And if we can just begin to praise him and glorify him and magnify him, you'll discover that you have no problem saying the right things out of your mouth because you are so in love with him and doing what you can to please him. And I'm not talking about being perfect, please. We understand that. But I want a consistent walk that he can appreciate. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we do thank you. We love you. We thank you for first loving us. We thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you would clean up our mouths. But I pray that you would start with our hearts, that we'd have hearts that are open unto you, hearts that are ready to praise you, to glorify you, and to magnify you. We pray now, O God, that someone here who does not know you and a free pardon of their sin might be saved. Lord, we pray that they not rest until they rest in thee. We love you, Lord, and we commit this unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.